folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Welcome to Pork Therapy. Mike, you kind of faked me out that time, because usually you play the little last few seconds of the theme song before we start
recording.
Blathering them on.
You were laughing, and I wanted to start recording on that tone.
That's cute, Mike. I like that intro.
Welcome to Pork Therapy.
Yes, welcome to Pork Therapy. We're here on the love seat, and this is Stephanie.
And this is Mike.
And what are we up to tonight, Mike? We've got some exciting things to do tonight, don't we?
Well, I guess you're excited.
Yes, I am excited, because I'm always excited when our listeners give us feedback.
We're going to call this our feedback episode, because we've got, three or four different pieces of feedback to read on three different shows.
Little feedback bites, I guess you could say.
Feed bites.
You know, speaking of feedback, I was on Free Talk Live the other day, and thanks to Ian for having me on, but somebody called in during the show and said something about, oh yeah, I love Pork Therapy. I listen to it all. I heard the episode about the dressing babies up like strawberries. And I was thinking to myself, that's the one that he heard. He decided to pick it out.
If you want to be optimistic, if he liked that one, he's definitely going to like the rest.
Yes, I think I will have to agree with that. Anyway, so we are reading some listener feedback tonight, and we are, of course, going to discuss the feedback, because this is not just a passive pouring things into your ears. We're actually going to talk about it and say our opinions, right, Mike?
Like someone could ever try and stop us from doing that.
That's true. They can't stop us, but they can feel free to turn us off if they're right. Offended, hint, hint. We're not going to offend you.
Not intentionally.
We hope we're not going to offend you, because really, if you get offended by what we say, then you probably need to lighten up. Who's Francis?
Lighten up, Francis. That's a quote from Stripes with Bill Murray, the movie Stripes.
Oh, cool. Well, that went right over my head, because I've never seen that movie. Anyway, we've gotten let's talk about the religion show first.
Okay.
Because, so we recently did a show about atheist parents who raise their kids with religion.
Yeah.
And, well, maybe not just atheist parents, but parents who are kind of not enthusiastic about religion.
Well, I think we mainly
unchurched,
talk about atheists.
Atheist agnostics.
Maybe agnostics too. Okay.
But for some reason they decide to accept the false idea that everybody has to have a religion and they have to raise their kids religious. And as you might imagine, this was somewhat of a controversial show, so we got some feedback. So the first listener feedback is from Mystery Porcupine on our blog. And I like that this person called themselves a porcupine.
Yay! And it is a mystery to me who it is. So
that's right. What is a porcupine again, Mike?
A porcupine, it's a little prickly animal.
It is a little prickly animal.
It is also the metaphor for what liberty activists in New Hampshire call themselves, because porcupines don't attack anyone, but they defend themselves well.
That's right. And and we moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, right? To meet some other porcupines and bear our quills together, I guess you could say.
And that has happened.
And that has happened, right. So, Mystery Porcupine says about our religion and kids episode, one of the best reasons mentioned that atheists might allow children to discover religion for themselves is that atheist parents don't want to, quote, indoctrinate their children into atheism. While this sounds like an impartial approach, parents need to keep in mind that their children will be exposed to individuals and groups that are compelled to influence children by using all types of tactics, including indoctrination and psychological and emotional manipulation.
I.e. government school. But there's other
government schools
as well.
But not just that. I think
they're
saying that the churches will kind of prey on people who they think
are
open to.
Yeah, they prey on people. Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, they pray for people.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, has anyone ever told you that they would pray for you?
Not to my face, not to me. They have not told me that.
Face.
No, maybe people pray for me and I don't know about it, but they were wise enough not to bother telling me.
Uh-huh, I see, yeah.
Or if they have, I've tuned it out and blocked it out and forgotten it.
Yeah, I think a while ago, like maybe when I was a kid, you know, maybe I wasn't quite as tactful about being an atheist as I am now. And I do remember a few instances where people told me that they would pray for me, and I think I had a pretty rude response.
You told them what you'd do for them.
Yeah. Something like that. But anyway, okay, Mystery Porcupine continues. Thank you, Mike. I just kind of screwed that up. As you guys mentioned, guilt and shame are built into most religions, along with promises of rewards for beliefs and behaviors. If an atheist has not raised her child to see through these tactics, she is basically encouraging her child to go and be manipulated by encouraging her child to shop for a religion. What do you think about that?
I almost agree with it. I wouldn't say that the parent is encouraging her child to be manipulated,
mm-hmm.
but I would say she's encouraging. I don't know if she's encouraging anything except her child to discover things for themselves, but that may not be the best tactic.
Well, I think she goes on to say later that, you know, kids don't necessarily have the critical thinking skills that
right.
some adults do. Well, adults don't necessarily have them either,
right.
of course.
I wonder if, you know, if a parent who makes decisions for their children about what they'll eat so that they do eat healthy.
Yeah.
If they would not make decisions about their religion, let the children
good
choose
point.
Their religion. So
yeah.
why can't they choose one and not the other? And that's, and basically those parents should alter one of their two decisions to match the other.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
if a kid doesn't have the knowledge to choose his own food and say not eat sugar cereals 24 hours a day,
yep.
then that same kid does not have the knowledge to not choose indoctrination and cults and whatever.
Yeah. But I suppose somebody could be susceptible to being in a cult even if they are raised religious, right?
Absolutely.
There are plenty of religious people who join cults.
Well, I was kind of joking because to me religion is a cult.
Yes, that's true, Mike. No, but I mean, I remember there was someone that I knew or that I used to know a long time ago. I don't know what happened to him, but he was a Christian. I think he was raised as a Christian, but then he fell victim to a cult. Another cult.
like what most people consider a cult.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Like a weird, you know, give all your money to us and the girls have to, you know, sleep with all the old men and, you know, the weird ritual kind of stuff. Yeah. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
kind of thing. But, you know, so this guy was still religious, but for some reason he was still susceptible to being in the cult. So I don't know. I mean, I guess you just have to teach your kids
that
certain people will try to, you know, give you.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I don't think, and let me read, let me skip a paragraph ahead, and
uh-huh.
Mystery Porcupine also says, so the conclusion at the end of the show that you should let children decide for themselves sounds great, but children are children, most are too young for strong critical thinking, they lack experience and full reasoning skills, etc.,
mm-hmm.
etc. And I think you're right, and if I ended up saying on the show that just let the children decide for themselves out of context like that, then I need to clarify what I meant was let them decide for themselves, but help them learn.
Yeah.
You know, don't just abandon your child for, you know, all day until dinner time and
sure.
let them go to churches or not and let them find out for themselves. Help them, like, ask them questions so that they will ask you questions and
yes.
help them understand and let them come to their own conclusions. You don't have to feed them your opinions,
mm-hmm.
but you should make sure that they're not
being brainwashed or taken advantage of.
Right. Make
yeah.
sure that since they don't have the critical thinking or the life experience, when they think they've made a good decision,
uh-huh.
Maybe use the Socratic method and ask them questions so that they'll discover whether or not it truly is a good decision.
Yeah, I really like that approach, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, you could ask them, like, well, how, you know, what did they tell you when you went to this church today?
Right.
Or, like, how did you feel
right.
when you were there? Or
yes.
did it make you feel good?
Or,
did you like the people you met there?
Yeah.
Were
or
you afraid
do you think,
of any of them?
Or, so you think X now. Well, what will happen, what might happen in 1 year if you practice X or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, or if you believe X, well, what does that mean about your Y belief, which you told me last week?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So to help them think through this,
uh-huh.
don't just abandon them to let them decide for themselves. I did not mean to imply that.
Yeah.
But I
believe you even said on the show something to the effect of that you might make fun of your kids if they decided to...
I would.
Come home and suddenly to start telling you religious fables
I
and
might.
Stuff.
I'm not going to teach them about, you know, the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus. I'm not going to lie to them in those regards. And if they come home telling me some story about some dead zombie who comes back to life and walks on water, and I'm going to laugh at their silly stories.
Yeah, I probably would too. But then
I
again,
don't think I'd laugh
at
them.
We both killed that zombie, Mike.
That's right. I was there personally.
That's right.
I don't think actually that I would harshly laugh at them, but I would giggle at the story and let them know that my opinion is that that is silly, and if people want to believe it, that's up to them, but I think it's silly.
Yeah. I pretty much agree. I mean, okay. I also think that it's important to, for kids, like, you know, people are susceptible to being brainwashed and indoctrinated into cults and religions and so forth because they may not have other things that are really important in their life that give them, like, a sense of meaning.
True.
And so if your kid is involved in something
or
that...
Or belonging.
Yeah, yeah, or isn't involved in some kind of a, you know, maybe it's a sport that they
exactly.
like to play.
Or even a hobby.
Yeah, or a hobby, or maybe they like to play Magic the Gathering. Or
whatever.
Or maybe they like to read sci-fi or whatever, you know. I mean, as long as it's something that they're interested in and that gives them something that, you know, fills their life with meaning, then I think that...
Would help.
Yeah, I think that would help them resist people who would want to just indoctrinate them and prey on them. So is that it, or
Porcupine goes on to say more personal experiences and basically the same stuff again. I don't
well, she's I don't know if it's a he or a she, but the Mystery Porcupine says you know, kids let's scroll up a little bit. So she's, the conclusion at the end of the show that you should let kids, quote, decide for themselves sounds great, but children are children. Most are too young for strong critical thinking. They lack both experience and full reasoning skills, so they need guidance and structure, not ambivalence. Well, I think we already kind of talked about that mm-hmm. giving them, you know, maybe they lack the critical thinking skills to come to the conclusion on their own that, hey, this person might be trying to take advantage of me. But if you kind of help them out with that question, I don't think you should totally underestimate kids. I mean, they do have some critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. They can form their own ideas to some extent.
Yep.
And then Mystery Porcupine says, kids will get that guidance and structure from somewhere and they will cling to it because most kids like the appeal of, quote, black and white, right and wrong. It is solid and easy for them to grasp. So if you aren't providing some of that guidance, they will get it somewhere. And let me assure you that churches will jump all over that opportunity. Yeah, I think Mr. Porcupine has a point.
Now, I want to read one sentence out of the next paragraph, and it relates to liberty.
Uh-huh.
This person kind of makes an assumption about the audience that government school is bad,
uh-huh.
and I agree.
Yeah.
And this Mystery Porcupine says, if you don't want to send your children to the government to learn math, why would you send them to a powerful religious group to learn a structure of values and ethics? Or to fit in.
Yeah.
And I kind of completely agree.
Yeah.
If you're already on board with liberty enough to realize that government education is indoctrination is bad, then why would you do the same thing with a non-government entity? It is more free in that it's not forcing you to use it, but
sure.
it's still indoctrination and collectivization.
Yeah. Absolutely. And especially with something as important as values and ethics, I mean... For some people, one of the major reasons that they want to have children is because they want to teach their children values that they hold important. And so if you're letting someone else teach your children those values
mm-hmm.
and those values aren't in 100% agreeance with you, well, then why, you know, that kind of conflicts with your goal, doesn't it?
Yeah, to raise a good person to what you think is good.
A good
right.
person according to what your values
right.
are, yeah.
Right. So I'd also like to read their last paragraph real quick.
Okay,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am
Mike. I'm going to be the authoritarian this time.
Change of roles. Mystery Porcupine concludes. I am personally not going to indoctrinate my child into anything. Though I'm an atheist, I'm not going to teach her that there is no God, as if that is the critical fact about life. I'm instead going to focus on giving her the positive. What she can know about ethical behavior, about science and the world, whether or not she ever chooses to believe in God. When God comes up, the focus will be that lots of people believe in lots of different things, and then we'll get back to the things about the world that are solid and provable, including basic human love and respect. I'm going to do my best to prevent my child from believing she has to have views on God until she's able to think critically and realizes her entire life doesn't hinge on that one question.
Cool.
I can kind of agree with that and kind of not. I think that belief in God is very important to who someone is. Because if you believe in... The some fairy tale, you know, guy who comes back from the dead and turns water into wine and heals lepers with a touch and silly stories about...
I could use that.
Yeah, if you believe that as fact, then that says a lot about other things that you will believe or things that you'll believe incorrectly in life. If that is a foundation to you, this is so important to me that there is a God, then it's going to affect how you believe other facts in life.
Well, it's certainly going to color your view of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, you might think, you know, you might have deterministic beliefs. You might have, who knows? I mean, there are many different ways in which it could affect your outlook on life.
Well, I guess that's a good point. And I wouldn't want anyone close to me to have that kind of outlook. So I wouldn't want my kid to have that kind of outlook. Right? So Mystery Porcupine is saying, I'm going to not focus on God until they're older and it really matters. Instead, if God comes up, I'm going to focus on things that we can know, not have to guess on.
Yeah, I think so. And I think she's going to say, she's not going to make it a big deal, the fact that she's an atheist, but she is going to kind of give the kids a heads up and sort of say, well, she's not going to ignore the fact that there are religions out there and that...
case, I read it. I misinterpreted what she said or he said. I completely agree. Yeah. I am not going to ignore anything, but I'm not going to make it a big deal.
That was the point of her whole comment was that, you know, they're... kids are kind of susceptible to this and you shouldn't just ignore the fact that there is religion out there.
Then I completely agree.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Thank you, Mystery Porcupine, for commenting.
Yes. Thank you. That was a really insightful comment. And if you want to see the comment for yourself, we didn't read the whole thing, but you can go to our blog at porktherapy.com, porctherapy.com. And that's on episode 73, entry. Okay. So we also got an email from somebody, about the same show. And the email is as follows. I thought it was pretty interesting and worth reading. Okay, so the emailer says, I enjoyed listening to your show this morning on my drive to work. I, too, grew up in a hyper-religious setting. Parochial school through fifth grade, the school went belly up. Church and weekly teen group meetings through high school, etc. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, what it is. Maybe he had fun and maybe he enjoyed it or whatever. I shouldn't say that, but... I probably wouldn't want that to be my childhood. But anyway, so then he goes on to say, you asked the panel at one point about the most negative thing that impacted their lives from their experiences. My own answer is different than what came out in the conversation that ensued. The topic of sex was huge, of course, like the members of your panel. Really? The members of our panel were huge? How could he tell? It's a radio podcast.
I wonder who are the members of our panel.
Yeah. And then he says, my youth group was full of deviants and hypocrites on all fronts. Personally, though... Oh, so he's talking about the fact that we were discussing that religion tends to give people sexual hang-ups and, you know, hating gay people, thinking it's bad to self-pleasure, things like that. Anyway,
To self-pleasure oneself.
That's right, in the Department of Redundancy Department, as our last emailer said. Anyway, then he says, personally, though... My most negative experiences all revolve around the apocalypse, Revelation, the second coming, etc. This is pretty interesting to me. He says, the end of the world, as it were. I had never been able to make sense of it or why it would happen, or if I were to... if it were to happen... Thank you. Now... I'm sorry. If it were to happen, how there could be any point to any of this, etc. The chain of logic quickly spirals out of control into nonsense. But at 12 years old, one doesn't quite have that figured out. I remember quite vividly being in church, which was embracing and teaching on the, quote, 88 reasons why the rapture will happen in 1988. At the time, did it happen, Mike?
I'm sure it did.
Well, it looks like it didn't.
Because they're never wrong.
Yeah. And then he says, at the time, this was supposed to be the Sunday that it happened. I was scared out of my effing 12-year-old mind. Wow. It took a while, but that's where things started to unravel for me.
I think actually that's the point of religion and government, by the way, is to
scare you out of your mind.
To scare you into needing them.
Yeah, and this, I feel bad for this guy because he says, you know, at 12 years old, you can't really figure that out, that it's, hey, but the world is not going to end on this day.
Right.
Somebody prophesies.
This kind of, I'll use this as an example to, I guess, enunciate what Mystery Porcupine and I guess we said last time, and that is, if you're 12 years old, or if you have a 12-year-old child, and somehow they come across, you know, you let them go to church or they find out on their own or whatever, and they think that the world is going to end in, you know, this Sunday or, you know, whatever, and they're scared out of their mind,
mm-hmm.
then start asking them questions. Start giving them answers. Don't just abandon them and say, well, you'll find out Sunday. And no,
yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
Say, well, why do you think that? And have you, did you realize that the people who were saying this also said the world would end 17 times before and they were wrong? And, you know, let yeah. you know, help them learn. You help them learn everything else. Why not help them learn about values?
Yeah, because you have the experience to know that when somebody says the world is going to end, the world's not going to end.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I remember I had a friend when I was in high school who thought that the world was going to end in the Y2K thing when it turned 2000.
Yeah.
And everybody else was out going to New Year's Eve parties. And this particular friend was home with her family in a bomb shelter waiting
that
for the world to end.
So sad.
It is pretty sad because it's like, wow, you're not going to... First of all, if I
they're,
actually thought the world
was...
They're
too scared to live.
Yeah. Wouldn't you want to be partying it up if you thought the world was going to end?
That's a good point. If the world's going to end, what good is a bomb shelter
going
to do
you? Yeah, that's exactly true. Yeah, what is it going to do?
And if somehow that's going to protect you from the end of the world, then when you come out of the bomb shelter, everyone else in the world's dead. How are you going to survive and why would you want to?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, I guess at least they would have their family and their 30 years of food that they had stocked down in the bomb shelter if they were spared from the end of the world. But anyway.
All right, let's go on to the next.
It's just so clearly a tactic to scare people and to keep them under control and just keep
and
them together.
Just,
and
it's very specific control, too. If a religion says, scares you to death as a 12-year-old, and then a religion says, however, we have the solution. Pray to us. Give us 10% of your income.
Oh, and when everybody else goes to hell, you're going to go to heaven.
Right, right. We have
then
the solution.
Have
you
moral
need
righteousness.
Us.
Yeah.
All right, next.
Yeah. Anyway, we just try to be good people, you know, we don't,
yeah.
I once asked, I was having a conversation with a devoutly religious person. I think it was,
that was your first mistake.
No, it wasn't. It's always fun to engage them in conversation, but this guy was a Mormon and I said, can a person be a good person without being religious? And he said, yeah, of course they can. But then, you know, he was trying to convert me to his religion. So why, you know,
why? What
why
is
if
point?
I'm already a good person, what do I need you for?
Well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, a little strange. Anyway, okay, so we have another comment on our blog.
On a different show.
This was our episode about how to proposition, it was called How to Proposition Friends for Sex.
Episode 65.
Which you can go to our blog at porktherapy.com if you want to read it. So this comment was from Seth. And he says, in response to the advice that we gave, he says, "What my advice is simple." Well, I guess this isn't really in response. It's
his
he's
comments.
More kind of like just pontificating about what he thinks about
it's his
how to initiate a dating relationship with a friend or something.
Right.
Okay, so I thought it was worth reading, but anyway.
Yeah.
He says, "My advice is simple. When you meet a girl for the first time, every guy knows within 2 seconds whether or not they would like to sack the girl. If she is a girl you'd like to sack, don't spend more than 2 days with her becoming friends. Make a move soon or not at all. If you've been friends for months or years, you're too late." What do you think, Mike? Are you
I
too
think,
late if you don't jump on the bandwagon right away?
I think...
So what if you don't realize that...
If this guy is being literal, he's just absurd.
Yeah, don't
so
spend
every
more
guy
than...
knows this. Within 2 seconds, he knows it.
Yeah.
If you do want to sack this girl, and I hate that phrase, if you do want to sack this girl,
put her in a potato
don't spend
sack
more than
or something?
Exactly 2 days with her trying to become friends. And if you do, and then he says, if you've been friends for months or years, you're too late. And well, so what happens between 3 days and a month or months? Then you're okay. That's a great whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess his advice may be worth listening to if you are only interested in dating or
you're only interested in finding a woman to have sex with, then you're going to know right away, probably within 2 seconds, because within that amount of time, you can tell if the person
if
is what
chemistry.
You consider attractive.
Yeah.
Not even chemistry. Maybe chemistry. Maybe chemistry would take you 15 minutes or 5 minutes of talking. Who knows? But real
Maybe.
Quick. And you'd know, okay, I want to have sex with this person. And then why would you bother to become friends with this person unless you're just trying to trick them into having sex with you?
Maybe that's what he's saying.
Yeah,
I
and
don't
so,
really know.
You know, if, so I guess, all right, so let's read on.
There are many reasons why you might become attracted to one of your friends that you weren't attracted to before, because maybe you get to know them better, and then you realize that they're a cool person.
Actually, I would guess that every time that you have a friend and then you then become attracted to them, it's for something other than physical aspects.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true. Although, I mean, you know, there might be the case where you have a friend and they're really out of shape, and then for sudden they decide to become a bodybuilder and then they become really hot, and then all of a sudden you say, ooh, they're attractive.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we've said before on the show that we've seen beautiful people become ugly when you get to know them, and then ugly people become beautiful because you get to know them and they're really cool. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said for getting to know someone. And 2 days, maybe not enough.
Right, so I think maybe Seth's perspective in how to proposition friends for sex is how to have sex, not how to have a relationship that also includes sex.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. If you want to be a pickup artist, then this is good advice.
Yeah.
So, and some people do. Okay, so then he goes on to say, if she rejects you, at least it's at the very beginning of your relationship, and then she can decide whether or not she still wants to be friends. If she does, cool, but at least you're not left wondering and eating your heart out for the rest of your life.
Eating your heart out for the rest of your life. So,
yeah, I think there's something to be said for making your intentions clear right away.
That
I mean,
could be true.
I liked what you said before, Mike, about not trying to, like, trick people into bed with you, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. If you want your intentions known, if you make your intentions known, you're communicating better.
Right.
You're not going to waste your time in hers or his or whatever.
Yeah. And you're being honest about the kind of relationship that you want.
Yep.
You know?
That's true. Interesting, though, that he's very gender-specific here. He's saying, guys seeking girls. I wonder if Seth would say his advice works the same if a girl was seeking sex with a guy friend. Because he's very specific in
that direction. Yeah, he probably would say not, because, I mean, this advice is old hat, you know. It's in all the dating, pickup artist kind of dating books and stuff.
I bet Seth would say something like, well, if a girl wants to have sex with a guy friend, she just has to blink.
Yes, that's probably true. If she just wants sex, I mean, you know.
I think he'd say that. I don't think that's true. I have many, many, many female friends, and I'm heterosexual, and I would not have sex with them.
Right.
So.
It's all about the person. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there who probably would have sex with any of their female friends if the female just said the word.
Maybe Seth is one. I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, no, but he doesn't have any female friends because he doesn't waste the time.
Oh, that's a good point. I guess that's an outcome he didn't point out. By the way, you won't have any friends who are females after 2 days.
No, we're just kidding, Seth. Maybe you do have female friends. I'm not really trying to make a judgment here. I was just kidding about that. Anyway, there's nothing wrong. Right. What I was trying to say was that as long as your relationships are voluntary, I don't care.
That's absolutely true.
Okay. And then he goes on to say, there's nothing worse than a guy who befriends girls that they want to sack, but never comes out about it. I've dated a few girls that have had, quote, guy friends that you just knew wanted her for themselves. It's almost impossible to be friends with that person, and it freaks the girls out when they find out that he's been pining after them for months or years.
If that's true, that's his experience. I don't think that's universal. I think that, I mean, look at movies where there's friends. Look when Harry Met Sally.
Uh-huh.
Friends for, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
And then finally they realize they love each other and they aren't, well, I guess she did freak out. But then she got over it and they got together. And that's, of course, just fiction. But
that's
a
movie,
Yeah, but I bet there are people who...
No, there's truth to what
don't freak out, I bet.
Well, I mean... Yeah, there are some people probably who don't freak out when their friend tells them that they're actually in love with them. But, you know, a lot of times if there's already chemistry there, like, what's holding you back from expressing that? Like, why is it that one person has to, like, come out and say it and then risk, like, this big rejection if they don't get a reciprocation, you know? Like, I think if there's something there, it's going to happen naturally.
Yeah.
And not have to be
That's true. Set. If it's not happening naturally, then maybe... The other person doesn't feel it, and it's not reciprocating.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a good point.
And I think there's also truth to what he's saying in that he says he's dated some girls that had a bunch of guy friends that were basically just kind of following them around, and it was Seth's girlfriend, but the guy friends were following this girl around, and he was annoyed by that because he knew that the guys actually wanted to have a relationship with the girl or have sex with her or whatever, and so. You know, he became annoyed that they wouldn't just be honest about their intentions and that they were trying to just, you know, keep themselves around as friends.
Well, I'm not so sure that Seth is all about being honest with his intentions. Read the last sentence. The last two sentences.
Okay, so he says, also, don't verbalize wanting a sexual relationship. If you bring up sex and you've never even kissed her yet, you're done for.
So, don't verbalize wanting a sexual relationship. So,
don't
express
talk about
your
it.
Intentions.
Well, no.
You want something, but don't tell her about it.
I can sympathize with what he's saying because I think he's probably saying you shouldn't need to come out and directly say, hey, I want to sleep with
you. I don't know about that, because if you're not dating, if you're friends, it's not understood. It's not the norm. It's not natural. It's not expected.
Sure. Yeah, but, I mean, what he's saying is if you bring up sex and you've never even kissed her, you're done for. And I think that that's what we were saying before about if something hasn't happened naturally between a...
So he is here saying, don't tell her you want to have sex with her.
Yeah.
And I guess you're kind of interpreting that to mean, just let things develop naturally, maybe put your arm around her, then maybe kiss her, then maybe move that way, right?
Let things see how she reacts. I guess that's how I interpret it, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just go for it instead of having a big talk about it and making it a big deal. I think there's some truth to that.
It could be a good way to do it.
Yeah. You can put the moves on someone without explicitly saying it. Sometimes that ruins the mood, right?
Yeah, he does say don't verbalize. He doesn't say don't use body language and don't act.
He doesn't say don't communicate it. He just says don't verbalize. Okay. So, yeah, I can dig that. Dig it. All right. Let's dig our next comment. okay. So we also had a follow-up from our listener who wrote to us and was confused about his sexual orientation in episode 72. And so we said in our little update on our Facebook page that we set him straight. I mean, gay. And that was true. And so, maybe we should break this feedback into another episode, because we're at 30 minutes
this
now.
This is a long episode, so yeah. And his response is long, although not as long as his question.
Well, let's talk about this in the next episode.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
We've covered some listener feedback, and thank you for responding.
Okay. Yes. And wait, I thought you were thanking me that
thank
so
you
I
for
said
reading.
Okay.
Thank you for giving feedback to their feedback.
I'm a little discombobulated, Mike. You've done it again. Yes, thank you for listening, and if you have a question for us, or you want to give us some feedback, or you have a joke or a comment or something more, you can call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Or you can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yeah, you know, I was just discussing with Ian the other night on Free Talk Live about how people tend to email the show rather than call the show, and he didn't even know we had a call-in line because nobody calls us.
Please call us.
If you're shy, don't worry about it. You don't have to use your real name. You can. We're totally cool. We're not going to reveal your name. We're not going to reveal anything. Give us a call and record a question. And I guess what else is there to say, Mike? Wait, there is one more thing to say. We're looking for a logo.
Oh. That's
you thought I was going to ask for date requests, but I was actually asking for logo requests.
Yeah, we're trying to come up with a logo to replace our picture of Sally the Pirate.
Yes, because Sally's getting a little old, you know. Yeah. It's time for her to retire. She's been traipsing all over our Facebook page for too long. She needs a break. So send us your logo submissions if you're interested in having your work featured as our Pork Therapy logo on all kinds of cool stuff. Like our podcast feed and our
website,
Facebook page
and our
tattoos. I mean, you can email it to us at questions@porktherapy.com, or you can even face it on our Postbook page. That was like Forcebook from the last episode. You can post it on our Facebook page. And if you have any ideas about what the logo should look like, we welcome those too. Although we were kind of thinking we'd like something like two porcupines on a love seat talking about stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Mike?
I love it.
Okay.
But I just can't draw it.
I can't draw it either. We're not exactly that talented in that department. Our talents lie in the broadcasting realm.
And even there is iffy.
Even there is iffy. That's right, Mike. And if you're iffy yourself, you should email Mike at porktherapy.com.
There it is.
And ask him out on a date. He's free tomorrow night. I was wondering if you guys knew that.
If he's free, he will respond.
If he's free, he will respond. That's right. If you build it,
they will come.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Thanks for listening to the show.
Thank you. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy. This good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more.